Well, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning. What a blessing. I always say it's a beautiful thing to see our young people who grew up in our ministry go off and shake the nations for the gospel, or stay home and shake the nations for the gospel, or stay in their own neighborhood and just love Jesus out loud so everyone can see that they love Jesus and the love of Jesus shines through them. We're going to deliver you a message today that's a message that's going to challenge us, I believe. We need a challenging message every now and then. You know, it's great to come and hear the warm and fuzzies that make us feel all goosebumpy. But God also wants to challenge us. He wants us to be the people that he's called us to be. Amen? Right? He wants to challenge us to take us to a new place and to a new level. See, I entitled this message, "It's Time to Stop Talking and Start Doing." Oh, come on, Pastor, really? Yeah, it's time to stop talking and start doing, because God wants to do a thing. Some of it may be a new thing. Some of it may be a reviving of an old thing. But God wants to do something. And we have to stop talking about this or that and start hearing and responding. See, the Lord told me a few weeks ago, start studying the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was an amazing leader. He was committed to God. He was faithful. He was a motivator. He was a man that shook the region in which he moved through for the kingdom of God. Because he was obedient, he heard a word and he moved on that word. He didn't hold back. He did everything God asked him to do. And the Lord told me to begin to study that and look at the book of Nehemiah, because it's in the book of Nehemiah that's going to be a blueprint for his people individually, but also for his church corporately. That we would see the book of Nehemiah and the attributes and the traits that were taking place and begin to apply them and implement them into our own lives, to see God do something. You see, it's time for us to call heaven to earth, amen? See, we talk about heaven coming to earth, but we got to start calling heaven to earth. We got to start praying heaven to earth. We got to start acting out and moving out, positioning ourselves in a way that God would move through us, because we've stopped talking and began to do what God wants us to do, that the heavens would open and would descend upon earth. See, it's when the heavens open and the Spirit comes, that's when revival hits. Man can try to manufacture a move of God, but it will only fail. Man can try to manufacture anything God would say or do, but it will never do anything or carry any weight or bring any transformation that's real transformation, because it's not God and it's not the Spirit of God. And so the time has come, my family, to stop talking about things and to start doing. So are you with me this morning? Are you with me? Some of you are like, no. You're saying yes, but in your eyes you're like, no, really? See, I see. You see with the eyes up here. You can see. It's like, as a parent now, you see eyes and you just know when you talk to your kids and they look at you, you know what they're thinking. You see their eyes. You see what's happening on the inside. But God has a word for us this morning. And that word comes from Nehemiah. Let me read this to you real fast, and I will have you out of here in a brief time. And a good time, so you can barbecue. So you can barbecue today. Y'all been marinating your food for a day or two, right? Your ribs, been marinating the beef, or whatever you're going to cook today. God's saying, marinate yourself in my presence. Marinate yourself in my presence and see what would happen. Nehemiah, the first chapter. See, Nehemiah, he's going to get a word, and that word is going to make him do something. The word that he gets moves him. The word he gets places a burden within him and within him. And it causes him to do something. It causes him to go after what God wants him to do, to go after the plan and purpose, the vision that God is going to show him. And it's no different for us today, that we got to get a word. If you haven't got a word, and many of you have a word individually and as a church, we have a word. We have a book of words that we're going to be pulling out or reading and praying over and seeing what we have to do to begin to activate those words into God moving in a certain way. But here's Nehemiah in the first chapter. See, he's with some people, and it's during a time where he's a cupbearer to the king, and he asks about the Jews who've been in captivity, and they're returning to the city of Jerusalem. And when he asks this question, the response in verse 3 is this. Things are not going well for them, for those who have returned to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. See, he got a word of what was happening, and that word moved him. I declare today that we have to be moved by the words that we hear. Words that God would use either through a person, through a prophet, or through this reading of the word. That we hear what God is saying. We must be moved. We cannot be numb to what God is saying. When we become numb, then we're not going to be able to do what God has called us to do. Because it says in verse 4, when he heard the word, I sat down and I wept. In fact, the days I mourned, I fasted and prayed for the God, prayed to the God of heaven. And then I said this, and this is a beautiful prayer. He says, O God of heaven, the great, awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commandments, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people of Israel. I confess I have sinned against you. Yes, even my family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying your commands, decrees, and regulations. He goes and he says, please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you. But, everyone say but, if you return to me and obey my commandments and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I have chosen. Someone yell amen. See, no matter what our past is, no matter how far we may have walked away, no matter how far we may have strayed, if we return to God, he's going to move. He's going to move. Goes on and says in verse 10, the people you rescued by your great power and strong hand are your servants. Oh, Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable. I love this prayer of commitment. God, now use me. God, use me to do your work. Show me favor amongst men that I can deliver what you want to have delivered. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that you've already begun to move as we honored you through worship and through praise and through prayer and through the giving of our tithes and offerings and the sowing of our seeds into missions. Father, I would pray that you'd continue to move now. Speak to us in the time that we have in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. See, I believe that God is challenging us to really do be a part of what he wants to do, to stop talking about we need revival. I grew up in the pews of church like many of our young people who grew up in our church, and I'll be honest, we can ask them, did you always hear, pastor says, oh, revival's coming, am I right? Revival's coming, revival's coming. I've heard that for 25 years. See, we could talk about revival coming, or we could play our part in being an instrument that will usher in the presence of God. We will do what God says and tells us to do that will open the heavens, that will release the outpouring of God's presence to the earth. Stop saying, revival's coming, revival's coming, revival's coming. Awesome. Revival's come. Actually, the presence of God is here, but it's time that we stop talking about it coming and start doing what God's requiring us to do and take the responsibility to call heaven to earth to see the transformation that he wants to do amongst his people. And see, I love this because Nehemiah understood that. He understood that Jerusalem needed revival. The captives needed a touch of the hand of God. There was something that wasn't right. The walls were broken down. The doors were burned. The people were going back to a very unhealthy situation. The only thing that the city needed more than anything was the hand of God to touch it. But the hand of God was looking for someone to say, I'll be a part of that. I'll be a part of that, oh God. And so here in Nehemiah, he does that. See, he asks the question, right? He asks the question, and he becomes a part of it. See, we don't need to sit and look and say, oh, well, you know, you ever been here before? We don't need Monday morning quarterbacks. You know what a Monday morning quarterback is, right? If you're a Bills fan, you know what a Monday morning quarterback is. You know. Well, if I was the coach, I would have done this. Well, if I was this, or how's this one? You know this government in this town that we live in? You know, they need this. You know, our school system's broke. We need to, or you know what the problem with the church is? You know what the problem with my church is? You know what the problem with the Sunday school? You know what the problem with the pastor is? You know what the problem with the worship team? Do you hear what I'm saying? We don't need the Monday morning quarterbacks. It's great to have an opinion, but are we a part of the solution of what God wants to do in that area? Are we praying for our educators, saying, God, bless them, pour into them, show them, God, how they can make a greater impact than what they're doing right now? Because, God, you placed them in that position. See? That's what we got to do. That's who we got to be. See, we need Jesus more than ever. Let's be honest. We need revival more than ever. We need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit more than ever. See, revival is simply this. Revival, I wrote this down, is an improvement in the condition of. An improvement of the condition of. How many of you need something in your life? You need an improvement of the condition, right? Amen. No matter what, physical, emotional, spiritual, financial, relational, you need an improvement. You need revival. See, revival is that improvement. It's that return of godly fervor, of that godly passion and desire. It's that return that restores the body, mind, and spirit. That's revival. That's what we need. But we can sit here and we can talk about it till we turn blue in the face. Or we can do something about it. It's our choice. It's our choice. Everything's a choice. Am I going to do what is necessary, or am I just going to talk about it? I told you guys, I went and seen my doctor. And he gave me this epiphany. You gained 30 pounds. I'm like, you didn't really need to tell me that. I could have told you that before I walked in this door. But I had a choice to do something about it. So I started doing something about it. And it's coming off again. Because I stopped talking about where I wanted to be and started doing what was needed to get where I needed to be. Big difference. And so here's Nehemiah. Just checking the clock. Here's Nehemiah. Nehemiah asked that question, and he hears that negative report. It was a word, but it did something. It stirred him. See, it stirred him. And what I find amazing is that our first step in pulling heaven to earth, our first step in fulfilling what God wants us to do, is we have to be like Nehemiah. We have to get a word from what God is saying. We have to hear what God is saying, what God is trying to convey to us. We have to stop being numb to all the things around us, to what God is saying, because it doesn't apply to me, so therefore, why should I lend my ear to what the word of the Lord? No, we should get the word of the Lord into us, into our spirit, man. We have to get a word. We have to get a report. Nehemiah was inquisitive. Listen, he was in Persia as the cupbearer. I said earlier, you know, people talk about, oh, he was making a big deal. He was the cupbearer. He was the cupbearer. Do you know what a cupbearer did? A cupbearer would test the food for the king to see if it was poisoned. Hello? That's not like some glamorous job in my eyes. Here today, gone tomorrow. Right here today, that's not like, you know, that's not that country song, Here Today, Gone Tomorrow. It's like, boom, that one had poison. King, don't drink that. Oh, who's next? That was his job. But while he was in Persia, he got a word about something happening 800, roughly, miles away. That word became a burden within him, that motivated him, that encouraged him, that kicked him in the butt to do something about it, about Jerusalem, about the people of Jerusalem. He didn't just sit back in the palace all warm, you know, eating grapes, getting the fan on him, you know, doing his thing in the palace. He was stirred within because the word he heard, it moved him. Church, we have to get a word that moves us. If you haven't got a word for your personal life yet, then get in the word. Because in the word, you'll get a word. In his presence, he'll reveal something to you. He'll show you something. You want to know what the Lord... I got to share this. I was wondering why he had me write this down. Can I have my phone, please? Here's the word the Lord gave me this morning. And some of you thought I was texting or hitting my Twitter or my Instagram or whatever. When you exalt me, the Lord said to me this morning. To me. This is my word. I'm going to share it with you because he just told me to share it with you. I wasn't going to share it with anybody but my wife and my kids, but I need to share it with you so you understand what I'm talking about. When you exalt me, you praise me, and seek me, I'll be there. When you get out of the way and allow me to move, I'll show up and do a thing. I'll do a new thing. I'll revive the dead areas. Be still and listen to what I say and how I will lead you. He goes on and says, then get out of the way. Come on, Jesus. That's what he said to me. Tommy, get out of the way once I show you and tell you the word. Get your flesh, get your own ability, get your own talents, get your own thinking. Get yourself out of the way because you are not God. I am the living God who sits in the throne looking down from heaven. So get out of the way, my son. And he says, and see what I will do. The tangible evidence of my power from heaven will be falling upon this earth. That's what the Lord showed me, shared with me this morning. Nehemiah got the word, right? And he got this word, and it moved him. He was burdened by the word. Church, you got to get a word. You got to get a word. You got to get a word. And once he got the word, it moved him. See, that word moved me this morning. That word moved me already. It moved me. I'm already like, things are ticking. It moved me. It's taking me somewhere. See, it moved Nehemiah. See, because in the fourth verse, it says this. It says, I heard the word, and I sat down and I wept. The word that he heard had such a burden that it's like he lost his strength in his legs and he was like overcome. Was it like that fake faint, oh, falling over? Or was it just like overcome with sorrow and grief and burden for the hurting people of God's kingdom? But it says he sat down, and not only did he sit down, he began to weep. And it said, and he mourned for days and days. So it wasn't like a passing thing, but days. But then he says this, I was moved so much by it, I prayed and I fasted because of the word. See, he didn't just jump into figuring out what he should do in his own strength and power. He did what we all should do. When we get a word or an idea or a vision from God, is we need to start with prayer and fasting to get the right blueprint, to do what is necessary to see the word come to pass. There's a big difference. You guys know me. I'm going to jump out of the boat right of a guy. Oh, let's go. Yeah. Ooh. Sometimes, like, it's not good at all. See, God's saying, listen, start it with prayer. That's what he did. He began to pray. He began to fast. Actually, it says for days, but when you study the scripture out, it was months before he would actually go on to begin to do the new thing in Jerusalem. So for months, he's praying and he's fasting and he's seeking God on a daily basis. God, what is your plan and purpose? Because he's preparing himself. He's spiritually building himself up, putting on that armor because he's about to go into the world. He's about to face the Sanballat and the Tobias, the ones who want to pull him down from doing and completing the task that God has sent him to do. Listen, when you and I have a word from God and we don't go in prayed up, fasting, knowing the vision, when the Sanballat and Tobias come to pull you off that word, pull you off the plan and the vision that God has for you, you will fail if you're not prayed up, if you're not full of the Holy Spirit, if you're not walking and functioning under the unction of the Spirit, because you're only doing it, and I'm only doing it in my flesh. And so here he was moved to pray. Here he was moved to fast. Why? Because he got a word, and the word was a burden for the concern of the people of Jerusalem. If we're going to stop talking and start doing, we have to get a word. and we have to begin to pray and fast. I told you back in August, I stood on the platform before a remodel and said, as your pastor, Lord, give me five pillars of which we will build off of. Some will be immediately fast that we go into, some will be immediately, will take a little bit longer. And in the process of doing that, we've been working on those pillars because we heard what God said, we wrote the vision down, we begin moving towards that. And with anything that God does, people like or don't like. That's just the way it is. Either you like what God's doing or you don't. You accept it or you don't. I get it. But one of the main pillars was prayer. Because nothing, there's not been a great revival, renewal, or move of God that has happened without prayer preceding the outpouring. See, we now have prayer three times a week in this church. We have prayer every Tuesday morning at 6:30. Right here in the sanctuary, every Thursday morning at 10:30 in the sanctuary. Tuesday nights, 6:30, two times a month. We will be adding more times of prayer because it's in prayer that the word is birthed. It's in prayer that the vision is birthed. It's in prayer that those things that are needed to battle, that those things that are needed to move forward are given to us as his children, that we can then get the burden, we can get the word, that we can begin to move out in prayer, in prayer. And so he was moved because of the word. The word caused the concern. My fear is that the church has become numb to the things of God at times. They become numb to the things of God at times. And God's saying, don't be numb to what I'm saying and what I'm doing. Don't be numb to it. I have a lot to say and a lot to do. But I'm looking for a people who will hear what I would say and respond to what I'm saying. And to the words that I'm giving. And I believe that's for us today. God has a word for you. God has given some of you many words. I said earlier, I believe I have about 95% of the words that were spoken over me. I have the first prophetic word that was spoken over my life by Bishop Tommy Reed when we were at 2095 Lakeview Road. It's taped in my one Bible at home on my desk. I read it all the time. Why? Because it hasn't come to fully pass yet. I have the word that was spoken to me from Bishop Tommy Reed when the transition took place in August. Why? Because I want to hear what God was saying and how God was going to lead and direct me. I want that word to become a burden within me that I can operate and move in that direction which God wants me to go. If I'm not moving on the word that was given to me by God, then I'm only moving in the flesh. And when I move in the flesh, I'm off the plan and the purpose that God has given me. I have other words from other pastors confirming things that have been spoken. I have them on CD. I have them, you guys ready for this? On cassette. Young people, Google it, what a cassette is. Google it. A cassette. Lord knows, I don't know if I have a cassette player, but I got a cassette. But you got to get a word. And when you get a word, write it down. And then keep going over the word, Because when you go over the word, God gives you the right tools, the right design, the right steps to see it come to pass. And that's what Nehemiah did. He had the word and he began to move in that. And then he does this as we're getting ready to close. You guys getting something out of this today? We're going to spend some time in Nehemiah. You're going to get sick of hearing his name. But I really believe that the book of Nehemiah is a blueprint for people individually and for this church corporately. Unified, like Chloe said, which is so true. The body has to become unified. One of the biggest problems in the church of Jesus Christ is they're eating each other from the inside out. The world isn't eating the church. Church people are eating the church people up with what they say and how they treat each other. And the negativity and the gossip and the backbiting. It's the unified body that comes together. That's a machine that rolls, that calls heaven to earth. And so that's what God wants. He wants a unified body, fulfilling the purpose and the call, the DNA of that particular vessel, whether it's individually or corporately, is the church. Our DNA is different than anyone else's DNA because we're a particular people in God's eyes. The church right down the street, the church right over the bridge, the church right up the road there, the church, they're all different because they all have a different DNA. And that's okay. That's okay. Pray for them that God does something great in their facilities. But see, we got to get a word. But that word, once we get it, we have to be stirred to move. It has to become a burden within us. It can't just get a word and then we forget about it. Because if we forget about it, then it's just nothing more than an emotional response. God's not looking for emotional responses. I probably can work up some tears right now if I wanted to. I could think about a Disney movie and start crying. I could think about a Hallmark movie and really start crying. But God's not looking for emotional responses. He's looking for a people that will be burdened with his call, that's burned within their heart, within their spirit, man. Nehemiah had that regarding Jerusalem and the captives that went back. He had a burden for the call to bring restoration, renewal, to call it down. And so he prays this prayer, and I'm going to close with this, and I'm going to pray over you for those who want prayer. I love the prayer that he prayed because it's a prayer I think we all should pray. I mentioned it last week while I was preaching in the city. He starts off with this prayer of starting with praise and thanksgiving. I think all our prayers need to start with praise and thanksgiving. We need to go to God first, exalting and lifting him up, placing him above every circumstance and situation, not walking in with the list. Not walking in with the list. You know what the list is, right? See, I was in the shopping center the other day. I said that because we're filming, so I gotta freak them all out in there. Not gonna follow me. I was in the shopping center the other day, and I saw a lady who had like three pieces of paper, and it was just list after list, and it was her shopping list. And listen, I'm not like some computer tech person, but I was like about to say, that smartphone you have, there's a thing called Pages or Messages. Why don't you just, she's like checking stuff off and highlighting, scratching it off in the meat department. I'm like, oh Lord, fumbling through all these pages. God doesn't want us to take that list and walk into his throne and say, God, meet every need. But that's sometimes what we do. God's like, no, I'll do that. But do you think just maybe you can love me and worship me and adore me and tell me how majestic I am and lift me above everything? Because when you lift me up, watch what I'll do. And see, Nehemiah did that. He starts that prayer off amazing. He goes right into praise and worship and thanksgiving. He says, he goes, listen, he goes, oh, Lord, God of heaven and great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love. He's talking about how God loves us and how he chose to love us. And he takes you back to Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, verses 7 through 12, I believe it is. See, he says, I didn't choose you because you were awesome. I didn't choose you because you looked like this. I didn't choose you because you look like the way you do. I didn't choose you because you have hair or don't have hair. I didn't choose you because you have money or don't have money. I didn't choose you because you live in a big house or a small house. I didn't choose you because you drive a new car or a car that's held up by Christian bumper stickers. I chose you, and I love you because you're my son and daughter, bottom line. So he starts off by praising him and adoring him and telling of how great he was. And then I love it. Then he goes, even before he asks for a thing, he goes, God, let me get straight even before you on my behalf and on my people's behalf. And he goes into a time of repentance. He doesn't blame anybody for them being held captive. He didn't say, oh, it was them dreaded Babylonians. It was the Persians. He says, God, forgive us. We sinned against you. We turned our back on you, God. We walked away from you. And because of our disobedience to serving you the way you called us to, this is what happened. But God, your word says. Because then he goes and he talks about the promises. He says, God, you said that if we would do that, we know that we would be scattered. But you also, God, in your word and your promise says that if we return to you, you'll bring us back. You'll bring us back to the promised land. Do you know that when the captives were coming back, it kind of blew my mind. 2% were only going back to the promised land. 2%. 2% of 2 to 3 million people, roughly 50,000 people, chose to go back to the promised land. Blows my mind. I don't get that. Here, honey, I want you to go back to the promised land, the land where I'm going to move and do a great thing because you're my people and I'm your God. Nope. Don't want to go there. I want to stay over here in captivity. Really? I want freedom, liberty. I want the blessings. I want the hand of God moving in my life. 2% only want. You can't make people go where God's moving and what God's doing. You can't force them, but you can encourage them. And that really spoke volumes to me that some people just won't receive what God has and wants them to do and wants to pour into their lives. That's their choice. Pray for them that they would be open up to, you know, turning back to what God wants to do. And so he talks about his promises, and then he ends the prayer with a prayer a part that was amazing. He talks about the commitment. God, be with me. God, give me success and show me, God, what I need to do. Give me favor in front of the king as I go before him. Because he ends in verse 11, I believe it is, and he says, I was the cupbearer. Is that a prophetic utterance? See, because he was the cupbearer, but now in his prayer, he's like, I was the cupbearer. See, I was once lost, but now I'm saved. I once was wretched, but now I've made me clean. I once was running from, but now I'm running to. I once was avoiding the call. I now have embraced the call. See, I love that utterance in there. And that's how he prayed. He starts with praise. He enters into repentance. He declares the promises that would come to pass to a people that would serve and be who they've called her to be. And then he prays for the commitment to do and to be who he wants him to be, to fulfill the plan and purpose. We can stand to our feet this morning. And I believe that's a word for us today as we close. God is calling us. God is calling us individually and corporately to grab a hold of his word. In the office in Pastor Shirley's bookshelf is a book. There's a lot of books, but there's an important book. And in that book, it's a book of writings. And those writings are prophetic words, the words that have been spoken over this church, over this ministry, and in different areas and facets of this ministry, from the Sunday school to the worship to the services to the small groups to people to various things. The words that God had spoken into this ministry. And I declare, as I stood in August of 2017 and declared that I would be your leader and take you where God wants you to go, I declare even again today that we will look at those words as a ministry team. We will share those words on Sunday as we call them and we say, God, how and what is our responsibility to see this word come to pass? And see, but what is important is that it's just not the pastor doing it, but it's the unified body of believers, the family of SCC saying, God, what's my role? What's my part in this call to build, to do what you want me to do? Because there is a place for you. You need to understand that. And let's take it a step farther. We need to begin to pray for the same words that are spoken into your life, the words that God gave you through a prophetic utterance or through the reading and the studying of the scripture. God, it hasn't come to pass yet. What do I need to do? What is my engagement level in it, oh God? Are you with me this morning? Can I pray over you? See, I believe you all, at one point, maybe you all haven't, but there's a word for you. God wants to speak something into you. I find the best way to hear God's voice is to be alone with God. Distraction-free zone. Get somewhere where it's just you and him. Get a Bible. Get a notepad. Do whatever is necessary and just open it up and pray and read and then be still to listen. Be still. It's tough to be still at times, but it's in the stillness that the voice sounds so loud. Did you ever notice at night when it's quiet, the little sounds sound so loud? Last night I was laying in bed. It was about 4 a.m. I was staring at the ceiling. And I heard a noise outside. My window was open. And it sounded like I don't know if it was a neighbor's car or somebody, but it sounded like it was coming through our house. I was like, oh my Lord, what is that? And the reality is, it just seemed so loud because of the stillness of the night. was quiet. If you haven't got a word, get before God. Get before God. Get before God. Let him speak it to you. Let it become a burden. Let it become a burden. Carry that with you. Being a pastor is a word that's a burden on my heart that I carry, and I love it. I love to share the gospel in good times and in bad times, when it's exciting and when it's plowing season. Get a word. Get a word. And then respond. 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 Father, I thank you for everyone here today. Father, I thank you for your scriptures. I thank you for your word that you have spoken. Father, I thank you that while we were speaking, while we were worshiping, your Holy Spirit was doing a thing within us. I thank you, God, that even throughout the service, you were giving individuals a word for their life, for their relationships, for their employment. Father, I would pray that that word becomes a burden, becomes a concern, becomes a passion that would be ignited within them. Father, let it not be a fleeing emotional response, but let it be burned within the tablets of their heart. God, show us what it is needed to not only talk about, but to begin to do. Father, your word says, for your people perish for the lack of vision. God, not only do we need a word, but we need your vision for our life. We need your vision of where you will lead us and guide us and direct us. Father, show us that vision this day. Father, I pray your divine blessing. I declare that this day your Holy Spirit would fill us, consume us, fall upon us in a multitude of ways. For each one needs you in a different dimension, and God, you have the ability to meet that dimension. So, Father, we declare that outpouring this morning. Father, thank you for where you're taking us. Thank you from where you brought us. But God, thank you for where you're taking us. Thank you for the excitement and the joy of your words that have been spoken as we revisit the book of prophetic words and utterances for this king, for your kingdom being built through this ministry. Father, bless these people, bless their families. Father, once again, we pray a blessing upon those who are remembering their lost ones who have served this great nation. Father, let your hand rest upon their homes. Father, let us never forget what you did for us on the cross as we remember you, God. We bless you and we honor you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning.